1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Alex Carlier, who many of you know, who I'm going to be honored and participating in his marriage later on this year with his fiance, Katie. We often shared lunches together, and Alex always talked about a professor that was particularly special to him. I forget her name, but she was from Kenya. Valentine, that's right, that's her name. She came and visited here before. And Alex shared with me a word that they talked about a lot, this word, Ubuntu. Anyone ever heard that word? Now, if you're in technology, you've certainly heard of it because it's an operating system, I believe. The origin of that word is from Africa. It's an African philosophical word. The very essence of the word or its meaning is this: I am what I am because of who we all are. I am what I am because we all are. It's a statement of interconnectedness. It's a statement that says, I just can't be who I am without you. Desmond Tutu of South Africa said this of Ubuntu. He says, a person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, based from a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished, when others are tortured or oppressed. Do you understand that Tutu is saying if people get hurt, then we hurt? If someone is being humiliated, then we are all humiliated. He further explained that Ubuntu is the essence of being human. Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. It speaks about our interconnectedness. You can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, Ubuntu, you are known for your generosity. We think of ourselves far too frequently as just individuals separated from one another, Whereas you are connected, and what you do affects the whole world. When you do well, it spreads out. It is for the whole of humanity. Think about that concept for a moment. I am what I am because of who we all are. There is an interconnectedness that cannot be denied. There is a completeness that cannot be ignored. In the church, relationship matters because we are a body. We are not isolated. Our lives are intertwined in a collective story where the twists and turns of life have connection with others. When a part of the body hurts, anyone ever have a hangnail on your finger? When you have a hangnail on your finger, you can't quite get it and it bends and you rub it against something soft, it hurts the entire body, not just that one finger. Am I right about it? When one part of the body gets relief, the whole body gets relief. You ever get that itch in your back that you can't reach? You do all this and you go this way and you come from the side and then you go grab a fork or something, or you grab that. Well, that's what I do. I grab a fork and I get that. And when I get that spot that you can't get with your hand, don't you just go, whoo? When part of the body gets relief, the whole body gets relief because it's connected. We are, church, the body of Christ. Why is the church compared to the human body? The human body is presented in Scripture as the most vivid metaphor we have when talking about the glorious church. It is the metaphor of choice for the Apostle Paul. Earlier in this letter, and Brother Randy spoke about it last week from chapter 11, Paul was adamant about the church recognizing the Lord's body at the Lord's Supper. In chapter 11, prior to what we just read, Paul was insistent that the church understands that communion was much about a celebration of being in the Lord's body as it was remembrance of the death of Jesus. Church, we are a body. And like the human body, we are made up of many parts, but we form one body. Once again, there is an exclamation of unity. We are one. No matter our personal makeup, Jew, Greek, black, white, male, female, northerner, southerner, whether you have an innie belly button or outie belly button, we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm just saying, some of us got innies and some of us got outs. Thus, in the body of Christ, we are interdependent upon one another. If you reread verses 14 through 20, there is much to be understood about our relationship to one another in the body. God has fearfully and wonderfully made this body to be dependent upon one another. And we are all not the same part. God has arranged these parts in such a way that the body will function for its different purposes, yet we all work together in this one body. If we are the body of Christ, that means that all parts are important. That means that one part doesn't take more importance over another part. We are all important. There are no pedestals or areas of greater honor within the body. Just because I preach every Sunday doesn't mean that I'm more important than you. We are all in this together. In our church, the one that leads the songs is just as important as the one who puts the salt down on the ice during the winter. The one who mails the card of encouragement is just as important as the person who teaches the children's classes. The one who preaches a sermon is just as important as the one that sits in the hospital next to the sick. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in this body. We are all in this together. And we are all important, and we all have contributions to give to this body. Thus, the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, we are all included in this collective story. No one is to be left out. Everyone ought to want to be involved, because in the body of Christ, we find completeness. I like to cook. I love to cook. And there are things that I cook with that I like flour. Flour is a cool ingredient. I mean, you can make some bread, you know, make a nice little roux, some gravy. You know, you got some droppings from the meat, throw that in the pan, throw a little butter in there, throw some flour in there, you know, whisk it up, put a little liquid in there. There you go, some gravy and some roux. But flour by itself is just kind of, I mean, it's just flour. Butter. How many of y'all like butter? How many of y'all need to stop eating so much butter? Yeah, I like butter. You know, get it a little warm, get it a little soft, put it on some toast, and put it on your biscuits. Butter all by itself is okay, but it's usually good with other stuff. Brown sugar. I love brown sugar. I love brown sugar. I cook breakfast for the family, you know, cut up some apples, throw some brown sugar in there and just let it reduce. And you got your nice little applesauce or apple syrup. I mean, because it's got that molasses in it. Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, all by itself, though, it's just kind of okay. Regular sugar. Okay. I mean, you know, I know as a kid, when mama wasn't looking, I used to go in the sugar jar and, okay, it was gross, but I used to lick my finger, go in and get me some sugar. Don't act like I'm the only one that did that, all right? I mean, all by itself, I mean, salt, I mean, you know, got to have salt for a lot of things. And yeah, sometimes it's kind of tempting to just get a little dabble of salt. But all by itself, just, it's all right. Baking soda. I mean, baking soda has some really cool uses. Like, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I sprinkle a little baking soda in my shoes every once in a while. I mean, you know, it keeps the feet a little dry so it don't get, you know, stank, you know. I don't know about, you know, just eating. I brush my teeth with baking soda. But all by itself, just kind of eggs, love eggs, especially ever since I've been introduced to Over Easy. I grew up only eating my eggs scrambled, but now I love that yellow goo. Oh, yeah. Oh, just love it. Chocolate chips. Yeah. Don't you get a load of chocolate chips? Those are probably out of all the things I've mentioned, that by itself. I mean, I can just open up a bag of chocolate chips and just throw down. But what happens, church, when we mix the flour and the brown sugar and the granulated sugar and the butter and the salt and the baking soda and the chocolate chips and the eggs? We get chocolate chip cookies. And I love chocolate chip cookies. You know, I don't know all the reasons that you have to put all those different ingredients. I mean, I did some reading on why you put baking soda in there. It has something to do with the rise, and it reacts with the molasses and the brown sugar. But I've tried to bake cookies without baking soda. Didn't turn out right. I've tried to bake cookies without the salt. They were okay, but not as good as the cookies with the salt. Church, when it comes to the body of Christ, we're complete. And we may do good alone, but what happens when we say we all want to come together and mix together? Chocolate chip cookies. And I like chocolate chip cookies. What would happen if we in the body of Christ came together and committed to be complete with one another and react with one another and work with one another and cooperate with one another and communicate with one another and show consideration for one another? and exclaim that we're connected to one another, to continue to live, not just eat, but to live in communion with one another. Aren't we saying to the world, come eat some of this chocolate chip cookie? We've been going through some things at church, and it's been painful. It's also been a blessing to see how God is working, how he's working through conflict, how he's working and allowing us to learn more about ourselves and helping us to learn how to deal with conflict in healthy ways. We've had some conflict with one another that's been kind of, you know, underneath, undercover, no one knows about, but then there's been maybe some more public displays of conflict. It's been a blessing to see some people who've been battling in some public conflict, dealing with that in the open and willing to share with that. I want to bring two people to this table to talk about this. I want to ask Brian Wilson and Carl Ward to come up to this table. There's Carl. Carl, can y'all come up and sit at this table? Feel free to have a cookie if you like. Can I have a mic? Yep. I'm sorry.
My granddaughter just asked me to share the cookie with her.
I know. Go ahead. Take a few back. That's all right. I wanted to bring you two up because, one, you agreed to let me bring you two up. Guess that matters. The other reason is last week when Brother Randy was here, you two participated in a conversation. You were at a table that was very similar to that. In fact, that's probably the same table you were sitting at. And you talked. And I was a bystander. I was in the room while that took place. And because I was told to just kind of just sit there and not say anything, it was very hard for me not to, at several moments, jump up on the table and just shout for joy. Not because they were like these huge breakthroughs, but because they were at a table talking. And there was something powerful about two people finally coming to a table to talk. How long had it been prior to you guys coming to that table that you guys had sat together and just had a conversation?
About a year, maybe
a little more.
A little more, yeah.
So more than a year. So without going into the details of the conflict, it's safe to say you two were in a major conflict that you know had ramifications for your spiritual lives, your families, and it was something that took place over a year ago, and it had been close to a year, even more than a year, that you guys had actually sat down at a table to talk. Before we get into the conversation, just share briefly just the year that you hadn't been talking, just what's going through your head, what's going through your mind?
I think it's easy. I think we can all fall into this, and I think that that at times I certainly did. It's easier just to pretend that it's not there, you know, to walk by and, you know, at most exchange a hello or how you doing, but, you know, not adept to a conversation like I think God would want us to be, you know, in terms of what we're talking about here this morning. So I think it's easy to just kind of rest in that mindset, and I think then it gets easy to kind of let the wheels run in your head as to, you know, what the other person is thinking about me, and they're doing the same, you know, what I'm thinking about them, and whether it's true or not, that can continue to harm things and bring things down farther, and it just makes it easier and easier not to have the conversation. And having the conversation and And starting down that path, I think really it's just one of those things that it's hard. You know it's hard. You got to do it. That's all I can say is do it. It's worth it.
Well, what's you, Carl?
Some of the things that precipitated the problems between the two of us, the conflict, they were hurtful, you know, and I'm sure Brian felt the same way about how he felt towards some of the things that I created a problem for him. I have neglected to do some things I should have done a long time ago, at least that when things were actually, you might say, a beginning of all of it. And I realized that I should have said and done some things that, at that time, but I didn't. And you carry these things in your heart that you feel like, well, how can we make this right? How can we get together and hopefully ask for forgiveness of one another? And, you know, as I told Randy, sometimes you think about this as being benign neglect. And what I mean by that, you know, it becomes acceptable. You say it's okay, and you develop that kind of an attitude, and you just prolong it. Mm-hmm. But I think when we got together last weekend, when Randy was here, it was a real, real blessing for both of us, and it relieved a lot of stress and pain in our hearts, mm-hmm. and for our families, because mm-hmm. they were not only experiencing the same thing, but they could see it through our actions and our words and our feelings towards them, because we constantly, at least in my household, I'm sure Brian probably did some of the same thing, it came up often, mm-hmm. you know, as to why we had certain attitudes or certain problems with being here, mm-hmm. or not worshiping in full fellowship as we should. Mm-hmm. So now I think Brian and I, even this morning, we had some conversation. And before, we were both not approachable to some extent. We were not willing to, you know, how you are. I say this for my behalf. When you get angry with your wife sometime or the spouse, you don't want to talk. And that's what precipitated, I think, some of this, because it was just like some of the domestic problem. Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk. You shrug each other. The body language is not nice. It's not positive.
Carl, that doesn't happen.
You know, it happens in my household, so. But I don't know about everyone else's. I'm actually speak for myself, but when you make that refreshing step and you say forgive me or I'm sorry, and that's what Brian and I did last weekend. Okay. And we were going to process this further, but we came to a conclusion, and he and I talked about this again. This point that I thought at that time that I was okay not proceeding any further. Randy wanted to go ahead and have more meetings, a couple more meetings, and want to process it more. So Brian, I think, talked to Randy this past Wednesday and mentioned that he didn't feel there was a need to process it, that our attitudes and how mm-hmm. we dealt with it last weekend, that we could process this as in a positive mode, and cool. we didn't need to keep bringing up the same things. And it's like opening up an old wound, you know. If you keep opening up that wound, you're going to keep remembering old things. And we have these tapes in our minds that make us sometimes not forget. And we need to erase some of these old tapes and move forward and keep on going in a positive manner. Mm-hmm. And that's what we decided to do, and we're going to do that.
Let me give commentary here. And this is a blessing, I'm telling you. This is why I was like, yes! But they're brothers. We're in the body of Christ. They're brothers in Christ, in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so being in the body of Christ, you know, it's important to understand that it's important that we realize who's ahead, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's also important, and we've seen it, to communicate. To communicate. Because we do a very good job of coming in here and pretending like things aren't going on, and we just assume not communicate. But man, if we're going to operate like the body of Christ, we've got to communicate. So you guys had a conversation. You know, we kind of replayed some things that took place. Not totally. I mean, you both acknowledged that there was some things done. How would you summarize what took place? Either one of you can talk. What took place in there with Randy? And I'm even more interested in what took place out of the presence of Randy and others, because I believe there was something that took place that next day. But go ahead and share.
So, you know, I think for me, what took place in the room with Randy, I think what it was purposeful. It was, we knew coming in what our goal was to some extent. And again, that goal wasn't necessarily to fix everything that day. That goal was to start a conversation and to start a real honest conversation with one another. And I think it allowed for a spirit in the room where there were open hearts and open minds, and there was true listening. I think that so many times we talk without listening, and I think what it allowed us to do was to really truly listen to one another, mm-hmm. and to hear where we had fallen short with one another, and to try to make account for that. I think it was, you know, a very constructive first step. You know, and then beyond that, you know, Carl coming Sunday and continuing that conversation, which I very much appreciated him doing, the willingness to step out and continue that conversation and continue that same mindset and heart to allow us to continue to move forward. And I just, you know, am very hopeful and prayerful that that's not going to stop anytime soon.
I think also to add on to what Brian's saying is that Randy brought up a good point that helps me to continue to be mindful of that. You know, we're brothers in Christ. We love one another. I love Brian. And he said, if you're brothers and sisters in Christ, you can say you love each other all day long, but if you can't forgive and you can't reconcile, that love is not valid. You can't validate the love until you can honestly say, I forgive you. If you think that you have a problem with anyone and you can't forgive that person, then you, in Christ, you don't love that person. We have freedom in Christ. And that freedom doesn't allow you to keep on being benign, as I mentioned earlier, in that neglect, but not by forgiving that brother or sister and saying, I'm sorry, forgive me. So this was something that I learned when Randy was here. He mentioned it, in a session he had on Saturday, and then he also mentioned it again when we were in the room there, one another, having our discussion with him. So this process helped me to continue to remind myself that I want to continue to develop the mind of Christ. And it's not just in the body here, but it's as we leave the body, as we go out into the world, we need to continue to be mindful that Christ is in us. And if we don't exercise that and practice that and develop that mind of Christ, it's no sense in us coming into this building playing Christianity. Mm-hmm. We can't play to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Our Christianity is something that we have to practice daily, and we have to conduct ourselves and be an example for our kids, grandkids, and all of us, people sitting next to each other in the pews. We're a community, and we need to be mindful of our thoughts, our habits, and our wrongdoings, and to be willing to approach and forgive that person that you have a problem with. You know, over the years, I've had problems with people, and you sit on one side of the church, they're on the other side. You don't want to get close to them. And that's not a person that has a mind of Christ. Christ would not be embarrassed to sit next to anyone. He has love for all of us, and we should exhibit that same love and outreach to everyone in this body and beyond.
So I can say as an observer, I heard both Carl and Brian express regret for things that were done. I recall Carl saying things like, I did X and it hurt you and your family and your things that I didn't realize that I did that hurt you. I remember Brian saying, I could have done things differently that you know, caused harm. They apologized. I think they hurt each other. That took place. There was communication. There was consideration for one another. And let me just share this. Not that we're short on time, but we're short on time. Let me share this. one of the things that Carl shared and that Brian agreed is that because of their conflict, they had a conflict that was kind of public in nature. We had a meeting. They had a conflict that, you know, a lot of people saw. I remember Carl saying something to the effect of, you know, listen, as long as you and I have conflict, I understand also that I have a circle of influence, that people, you know, who are on my side, and you've got a circle of influence of people that's on your side. And just as long as we don't get along, then our circles of influence won't get along. And so this idea of cooperation, that in the body of Christ, we have to cooperate. And so what Brian and Carl did was display what we need to be doing in the body of Christ. And that goes for not just these two, but also their circles of influence. It goes for everyone in the body of Christ. Brothers, I want to thank y'all for making some chocolate chip cookies. I want to thank you for doing Ubuntu and understanding that you are who you are because of who you are, plural. Church, if we're going to be the body of Christ, we need to understand that relationship matters because we are complete people. Now, I'm putting them on the spot here. If you want to know some more information about this courageous conversation they had, I want to encourage you to come ask Brian and come ask Carl. Because maybe, again, you're wanting to have that conversation and you just want to know how it went. You know, how bloody did it get? I mean, just go ahead and ask them those questions. And I know that they're going to be just free with information to let you know. So, brothers, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for engaging this conversation and being an example for the rest of the body. Thank you. I want you to look to the person next to you and say, I am what I am because of who we are. I want you to look to someone else and say, I am what I am because of who we are. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who is the head of this body. And God, I pray that we would embody the thoughts and sentiments of our brother Paul as he talks about the body being a unit. God, I pray that we will be a healthy, functioning body, not based on our own merits, but based on your grace, based on your power and your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you so much for my brothers Carl and Brian, and how they have engaged in courageous conversation, how they have engaged on a continuing conversation, God. And Father, I pray that it will have impact and ramifications for the rest of this body. God, we love you, and we thank you for the displays of truth. When we do what you call us to do, we thank you for the blessing of seeing how it looks. And God, we see this as a blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the fact is that if we are a body that remains continued in a conflict, embroiled in conflict with no intent on trying to resolve these conflicts, what's going to happen is that we're going to have people come into this church. We're going to have people who are already in this church, residing in this body, who are going to have needs and hurts that need to be met. And we won't have the eyes to see it because we're so busy trying to avoid dealing with the conflicts that we have. I had a dear sister come to me and share with me just a couple weeks ago how she's been crying out to us, asking for help, and we've not been able to do it because we haven't been dealing with conflict. So to that dear sister and to others who felt that way, who felt like you just haven't been ministered to because we haven't been dealing with conflict right, I want to say I'm sorry. I want to say I'm sorry for the whole entire body. This is something we all need to make apologies for, and we all need to make a commitment right now. We're going to do better. We're going to do better. We're going to meet the needs of the body, and we're going to meet the needs of the body by not avoiding conflict, but dealing with conflict healthily, and then tending to the needs of our brothers and sisters. Is that all right, church? If there's anything that we can do for you as a church as we sing this next song, if you want to share a praise report, if you want to ask us for prayers, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to make a public profession of faith, you want to be baptized like our brother Mike did last week, we want to give you this opportunity. As we stand and sing this song of commitment to God and to one another, we will stand with one another. Let's stand and let's sing this song.